This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, what is this awful music? Did Tiana pick this? She knows better than to not pick a song. A reminder to everybody, if you don't pick your song, you get the worst song we can find on short notice. So now Tiana Desher has to own that. Joining me now, columnist with the Washington Examiner, Tiana Desher. Tiana, what are you thinking?
Hi, Jesse. I'm sorry. I own it. It's what the AI evangelists call decision fatigue. You know, there's so many decisions to make in a day, and sometimes it's hard to pull the trigger.
Okay. All right. Well, look, just don't make that mistake again. All right?
I won't.
Now, let's discuss several things. I have several things I want to go over with you. First, economically, you see things that make you think the economy's rebounding, doing well. Then you see things in, well, for instance, consumer spending appears to be all the rich people and no one else is doing it. Record credit card debt. How is the economy doing?
Okay, so right now we sort of have a Goldilocks recovery, and it is a recovery, right? Like, I think people under the reason why, historically speaking, presidents avoid inflation like it is the bubonic plague is because it takes so long to get out of. Across 4 years of Joe Biden, Americans lost an average of about 4% of their wages, right? But we have a real recovery going on. The unemployment rate, you know, for all that people are freaking out about, oh, the labor market is softening. We still have an unemployment rate that is considered historically full employment, right? 4.3%, I think. Real wage growth. That is the biggest and most important number because inflation, as it stabilizes, not accomplished yet. And we have real wage growth for the first year of Trump 2.0 at almost 2%, right? So that undoes about half of the damage of Biden, right? But there's still more progress. Look, as far as this K-shaped economy narrative goes, I just don't know how much I believe it. Because, Jesse, I know you are a big believer in personal choice and not just pathologizing consequences of personal choices. We, every single holiday, clock in the highest spend for that holiday in human history. And that does not indicate that Americans are really feeling the pain when it comes to superfluous spending, right? Housing remains the biggest issue because the problem is we just don't have enough housing, period, right? And it is worse in Democratic states. Healthcare, too expensive. Education, too expensive. But everything else really has leveled off.
Okay, so let's focus on the housing portion of this because I have teenage sons and I would very much like them to own a house one day. You say we don't have enough of it, which always begs the question, there's a demand for housing, we don't have enough of it, why aren't they building more?
I mean, the main thing is, on a local level, we've regulated housing out of existence, right? And the reason why I bring up blue states in particular is because it's part of the solution. So for instance, so I'm from California. I could not live in California right now if I wanted to. You know, my parents always say, oh, when are you going to come back? Never. The answer is never. Because right now, about a fifth of all home transfers in California are just inheritances. Why? Because you have the California Coastal Commission, all of the environmental regulations. Nationwide, the equivalent of about one-fourth of all new home builds are just to comply with local and state government standards for housing. But then specifically, it gets worse depending on what the zoning reform in your jurisdiction is, right? And it's why we need a lot more build, baby, build, the same way we do drill, baby, drill when it comes for housing. So honestly, but most of it is a local issue. And this is part of the problem Trump's running into. You know, he just wants to see the interest rates come down. The problem is, like, there is not that much more for the interest rates to come down. We are never getting that COVID 2 and 3% mortgage rate environment ever again. That is not normal, right? Sub 6%, 5% mortgage, that's normal. Like, ask your parents how much their mortgage was for their home if they were able to own a home, right? It historically is closer to 5 or 6%. The real issue is that your grandparents didn't have neighbors that went to the polls day in, day out to make sure it was illegal for someone to build a new home next to you.
So something I've said over and over again on the show, and please argue with me if you'd like, but one of the great ways to defeat inflation, at least somewhat, is to get out of a blue state. I mean, in blue states, the problems are not only bad, the problems are getting worse because there's no more limiting principles over there, and your money just goes so much further in a red state.
I mean, in general, yes. And like, we see some sort of sweet spots, right? Like, blue areas in red states tend to do really well because you get a lot of, you know, you get a lot of tech investment. Places like Austin, Miami, just absolute boom towns right now. But like, the big problem, and this is, you know, you have Democrats like Ezra Klein trying to save the party from itself because they realize they have regulated home ownership and they've regulated growth out of existence. So like, yes, to just broadly, yes, and your point, you are basically correct that it is artificially more expensive to live in blue states and not just in the big cities. It is across the state. So the American Community Survey, which is just every 10-year surveys, annual surveys of where do people live, where do people go, and over the 5 years from 2019 to 2024, blue states lost population across almost every single age demographic except for seniors and Americans in their 30s. Whereas red states gained, they gained children, they gained prime age working adults, and they gained seniors. So what you have is like what we think of as Florida, you know, a retiree home for wealthy boomers, that is rapidly becoming California.
Okay, so let's set that aside for a moment. Can the red areas of this country, are they able to provide enough of a standard of living to get enough people to move there? I'm asking this question purely out of political power reasons. Are we going to be able to get enough people in the red, sane areas of the country to completely politically neutralize, or at least somewhat, insane blue areas who are destroying themselves, like California, Colorado, states like that?
Yeah, I mean, demographics, to an extent, are destiny, right? It's why, like, that next census that comes out, it will be a bloodbath, electorally speaking, for Democrats, because quite literally, they've priced out all of their young people out of a lot of these states. It's why you have places like California, New York losing congressional seats, Texas gaining. I mean, I would mean the main thing to do is don't be scared of that growth, right? Embrace that growth. And also, you know, Republican states need cities too. And you see some governors really leaning into it, right? I think Ron DeSantis has embraced Florida being a growing state. You know, Greg Gianforte in Montana is being brought all across the country to explain to blue state governors, hey, this is how you legalize building a new condo or a new apartment complex, right? And then just don't let the environmental crazies get in the way.
Tiana, again, we're speaking with Tiana Descher, columnist with the Washington Examiner. You mentioned healthcare, and this is such a winning issue for Democrats because the right has never been able to effectively message against the communists, and they're just, well, just let the government run the whole thing. What should be the GOP message on healthcare? Because health insurance is just flat out unaffordable. It's ridiculous. Yeah. What it costs. Now, normal people cannot afford it.
Absolutely. And this is one where I think President Trump's instincts are definitely in the right place. You kind of have to work around Obamacare, right? You don't have the political will to undo it. You have to work around it. Because the fact is, Obamacare made it so that way you could not, I think it's more than three times for your obese lifelong smoker who's 55 old, then you charge, you know, a young, healthy 18-year-old who doesn't smoke. And that just meant that you have young people subsidizing old people, which is basically the story of the American economy right now. But it's getting worse if you, as the population ages. So what do we want? We want expansion outside of Obamacare. We want more association insurance type plans, but instead of being tied to your employer, it can be tied to, say, Costco membership or your church, where then you create a completely different risk pool. You want more direct primary care coverage. This used to be known as luxury concierge care, and now over time has been, you know, deregulated to the point where it becomes a little bit more affordable for us normal folks. But really, you know, if any, you cannot give Obamacare another cent.
Tiana,
because it doesn't go to the patient, it goes to big insurance.
You're not wrong. Tiana, appreciate you very much. Thanks for dropping some economic knowledge on us. Come back, join us soon. All right. We have to talk about smoking crack. And we have to, what, Chris? We have to do emails. We also have to talk about your cell phone service. Speaking of saving money, beating inflation. I know. It's hard to pay the bills. I get it. Pure Talk can make it easier. At least you can save a fortune. There's just money sitting on the table in front of you right now. All you have to do is bend down and pick it up. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Well, but I can't be dropping calls. Pure Talk is not some fly-by-night mobile company. They're on the same towers. Exact same towers. You can switch to Pure Talk. Average family saves $1,000 a year. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data. $25 a month for that? Think about what you pay. And Pure Talk shares your values and promotes your values loudly, unapologetically. They even hire Americans. Maybe the best part is when you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, you get to speak to an American who speaks English. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
In the arms of the angel.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy. Because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Listen, I'm a gun-toting Texan, right?
I've always been someone who has been intellectual. I was top 10% of my class.
And that is specifically why I said, A, Jeffrey Epstein, unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. That's all I can
do. I'm sorry she's gone. I'll miss you, Jasmine. You were the best. Run for office again, please. Please. You will always have the backing of the Jesse Kelly Show. Jasmine, I want you to know. Chris, I can't believe our only endorsement ever lost. Dang it. That's a bad... Look, we're 0 for 1. We're 0 for 1. Billy Idol said smoking crack helped him quit heroin. Kids, please pull up a chair for just a moment. Let Daddy Jesse have a little talk with you. Don't do drugs. All right. Maybe one day, if you start doing drugs now, I know maybe your friends are doing it. Who knows what the situation is, but maybe there will come a day when you're trying to kick the black tar heroin habit and you're doing it by smoking crack. And if you ever find yourself in that situation, you probably made some bad choices. Don't smoke crack. Also, I am starting to notice something. But because there's a story out that Papa John's is closing hundreds of restaurants. And again, this is not me pitching for Papa John's. I generally don't like commercial pizza outside of Little Caesars. It's okay. It's fine. I'll eat it. It's fine. But I keep reading headlines like this about all these restaurants.
I heard Red Robin's shutting down a bunch of stuff. Papa John's, I just keep hearing these things. And this is why I wanted to have Tiana Desher on last segment. I'm worried that regular American families are not making it anymore. That they're not making it. And so they're not ordering pizza. They're not going out to Red Robin. They're not going out to the, and look, maybe it's just an online food ordering world now. But even then, it would make sense that these businesses would be able to stay in business if people were still ordering Papa John's on DoorDash or something like that. Why are we getting so many restaurant closures? Again, it's not about the restaurants themselves. I don't care about Papa John's. What I do very much care about is that people are maintaining or, Lord willing, improving their standard of living. I don't want your life to get worse. I don't want your credit card bills to get maxed out. I don't want a pizza on a Friday night with the kids to be financially out of reach. I don't want that. And I'm really worried that we're getting there. That is my concern. That's the only reason I brought this whole thing up. Very concerned about it. Also, speaking of concern, GOP, if I may offer a bit of advice. I understand that since Congress didn't declare war, that we don't want to call it a war. Trump doesn't want to call it a war, and Hegseth doesn't want to call it a war, and Mike Johnson got up, he said this.
Iran has attacked three of our U.S. embassies in the last couple of days. Okay, those are sovereign territories of the U.S. They have declared war on us. I don't believe in the semantics. We've talked about the language this morning. We're not at war right now. We're 4 days in to a very specific, clear mission, an operation, Operation Epic Fury.
Come on. This was Pete Hegseth this morning. We're not at war?
Yesterday.
This is really cool, by the way.
Yesterday, in the Indian Ocean, an American submarine sunk an Iranian warship that thought it was safe in international waters. Instead, it was sunk by a torpedo. The first sinking of an enemy ship by a torpedo since World War II. Like in that war, back when we were still the War Department, we are fighting to win.
How epic is that? I don't know. Like, I don't care what you're fretting about or what you're cheering for, but man, what must have been going through the head of that sub crew when they got the word, oh yeah, go ahead and fire a torpedo into its side and sink it. And you know the most amazing part of this? I hate to be one of these people that treats war like a video game, right? Because very much not. People die and it's terrible and all those things. You, right now, if you have access to social media, you can go watch the video of this torpedo hitting the ship and the ship going down. It's amazing. Jesse, changing the regime is not easy. That's what I said. And this guy said, this is your quote with an exclamation point. This is why you're hesitant about what we're doing in Iran. It's not easy. This is your spineless quote. He's clearly very emotionally stable. What about the 50,000 people we got murdered in the streets protesting against the oppression? We can only hope, so on and so forth. And then he throws in a pull your head out of your buddy. Calm down. Okay. Calm down. I know you hate Iran. I get it. I have a pretty good idea why. I understand that. But I got it. Don't yell at people. And don't yell at people about something I'm right about. Changing a regime is not easy. Killing people is easy. Breaking it for us, the United States of America, is easy. Creating a new government the people of Iran will accept and that's also friendly to our interests, it's infinitely more complicated. That's what I said. If you heard something different, it's because you're stupid. And you're stupid because you're emotional. Emotions make you dumb. Stop screaming at me and calling me names like a teenage girl. All right? We'll do some more emails next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Now you had to play that Billy Idol song, Chris. Now I'm wondering, was he on heroin or crack? Was he in crack rehab? I don't know. Look, I don't know. Chris, we can ask the hard questions here. It's my job as a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse.
Now every time I hear a Billy Idol song, I'm going to wonder, is this heroin Billy or crack Billy? I don't know. And which one was a better musician? Right? I having never done heroin or crack, I can't say which one would help your musical abilities. But now I'm curious. Heroin Billy, crack Billy. I don't know. I think if we have to be honest, though, crack sounds worse, doesn't it? It does, right? I'm with heroin, at least maybe, what, Chris? We can have an honest conversation about which one sounds better or which one sounds worse. Heroin's bad, I know that. It's certainly when it's black tar. I don't know the difference between regular heroin and black tar heroin, but I like to say black tar because it sounds really dark and scary and exotic. But crack? Man, you don't want to ever admit to that. Hey, Jesse. I'm a consistent, dedicated, loyal conservative. I lived in Washington State. I have my 3x5 Trump flag hanging outside my house, taking a lot of flack from my neighbors. Kristi Noem's television ads are effective. The cost to run these ads is worth the result of clearly informing the illegals they're supported she's going to do her job. You and Senator Kennedy are making this all about Kristi Noem. You constantly rag on spineless Republicans for not holding it together, and here you are ragging on Kristi Noem, who's doing the job we need her to do. Knock that off, and he says, what the beep is the matter with you? So I guess I'm going to have to cover this one more time. If you expect me to be okay with what I'm about to play you because the person who did it happens to be a Republican or happens to be appointed by Trump, please change the channel. This is your money. This is my money. Every single American scraping to get by, they are taxed by the federal government. If Kristi Noem, if she's handing out no-bid $200 million contracts to friends, I have a huge problem with it, and you should be freaking embarrassed as a man if you don't have a problem with this.
My research shows that you did not bid them out, that you pick, in fact, one of the people you picked, the strategy group, I'm sorry, Safe America Media, was a company formed 11 days before you picked them, and that the strategy group got most of the money, and the head of that is married to your former spokesperson. I'm look, we all have friends who are qualified. I'm not quibbling with that. It troubles me. A fifth to a quarter of $1 billion of taxpayer money. When we're scratching for every penny and we're fighting over rescission packages, I just can't agree with Madam Secretary.
It's bad and it's wrong. And it's not okay because our side is doing it. And I want to remind you of something else. All these people, everyone we elect and everyone who gets appointed, all of them, even the ones you like, they're all just rental cars.
Just use them to get where you're going and dump them. You understand? Don't ever man worship anyone. And that goes beyond politics. Don't ever man worship Trump or Kristi Noem or your pastor or your boss or some sports star or an actor. But don't man worship anybody ever. Don't ever do that. Ridiculous. Good evening, Jesse. I have to say, you're the best radio talk show host out there. I agree. What, Chris? You're slowly becoming Rush Limbaugh caliber with your unconventional and humorous approach. Given this, can you answer a question for me? Why does Clay Travis aggressively argue that Taylor Swift is the Beatles of her generation? There's absolutely no comparison. I can't even name one of her songs. Whereas the Beatles, you name a song, you can typically think of a couple verses. Listen, Clay is a friend, all right? He's a friend. But Clay drives an electric car. I was actually on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show earlier today where I discovered that Clay drives an electric car. Any man who drives an electric car is going to be a man who listens to Taylor Swift in the electric car. I know it, and you know it. And here's the thing. I'll tell you the same thing I told Clay on the air today. When the Kellys have to take a road trip, which is always for some sports function for the kids or something like that, the Kellys understand, all of them, you better go light on the water or the soda or whatever you're drinking. Because there will be one stop every 2.5 to 3 hours. We are going to make good time. And when we stop, don't think we're going in and sitting down for a nice meal. I'm pulling in. I'm walking up to the gas pump. While I'm plunging it, you better be boot scooting your little butt inside the gas station. Go use the bathroom. Go pee. Wash your hands. You want to grab a couple snacks? That's fine. We are in and out in 10 minutes. These people who have these electric cars, and I understand Tesla's a great car. I totally get it. 20, 30 minutes if the charging station is available. If I ever had to take a road trip and wait in line for the privilege of starting to juice up my car for 20 or 30 minutes, I would lose my ever-loving mind. There's not a chance in the world that would happen. Clay, though, he can just sit there and jam out to Taylor Swift. What, Chris? He can just jam out to Taylor Swift in his little electric car? Sure, it's hot pink. Wife beater, Jesse. Don't call me wife beater, Jesse. This is because I started wearing wife beaters. I don't want that leaves a bad impression. Speaking of which, you know what Ob did? Ob went in. Sometimes she has these old gymnastics injuries that flare up. She's had more surgeries than you can count. It's a really brutal sport. And so every now and then there'll be some injury that flares up. And sometimes she has to go kind of get some sort of massage therapy on it with some, you know, the people who know that stuff. And one of them, the girl she goes to, did those suction cup thingies. You ever seen those? I've never done it. I don't know what it feels like, but apparently it's really good for whatever you have. Well, I guess it leaves some bruising or discolored skin afterwards. She had on one of her shoulders this big bruise on one of her shoulders from the suction cup thing. It was on the back of her shoulder. And we were going out the other night. I told you we were going out with some other couples in the neighborhood. We were going out the other night, and she wears a tank top type shirt. Not a tank top, but something that didn't have sleeves on it. And there's a bruise right there. And I said, baby, I don't think you can wear that. And she said, why? I said, what do you think everyone's going to think if you have like a half-covered bruise on your shoulder? They're all going to be staring daggers at me like I did something, which only made her start laughing. And she said, well, that's definitely what I'm going to tell everybody now. I'm just going to tell them all that you beat me. All right, quit. Let's do a couple more of these and then we'll check out of here. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, amazing Wednesday. We are going to come back tomorrow and we'll see what all has shaken out with the endorsement, the non-endorsement. We're not going to focus on it right now. I should probably keep you updated on a couple different things. For instance, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. He said some things today, and I realize some people want to know what's the latest and greatest on Iran. So here's a couple of things from Pete Hegseth.
Starting last night and to be completed in a few days, in under a week, the two most powerful air forces in the world will have complete control of Iranian skies, uncontested airspace. I hope all...
I'm going to pause on that. Sorry, I let him have his say. Now, I have to talk about something. There's something that you should be appreciative of and that I should be appreciative of, but we can't really fully appreciate what I'm about to say. You know that I nerd out on World War II like any other man over the age of 40. You know that I Korean War and Vietnam, these things. I've read so much on these different conflicts, including from the enemy's perspective. What was it like in Japan when the bombs were dropping? What was it like for the Viet Cong, for the North Vietnamese when we were carpet bombing them over the jungle? And it sounds like the most terrifying thing in the history of the world. Remember that when bombs drop, big enough bombs, the explosion is so massive that it sucks all the oxygen, the flames around it suck all the oxygen out of the air so you can completely avoid the blast and die of suffocation standing out in the open in what looks like fresh air. You can die of suffocation. Think about how large that explosion has to be. You listen to these Viet Cong guys and they'll talk about being down in the tunnels. You know, they were famous for those tunnels when our bombs were dropping overhead, and you're just waiting for the whole system to collapse on you. And obviously, oftentimes it did, and then you'll die buried under all that, buried alive. The Japanese, as Americans start dropping bombs on them, what they went through. We here in the United States of America, none of us, I certainly don't, we do not appreciate how awesome it is to have never ever had someone else have air superiority over us. Now, I realize there have been big air wars over Germany and things like that, but we have never experienced that as a people where we lost control of the skies, someone else's air force was able to overwhelm ours, and we just sit there with bombs dropping. Now, I'll let him have his say, but you should appreciate that. Because it sounds like the worst thing in the history of the world when someone's dropping 500-pound bombs on your head.
Starting last night and to be completed in a few days, in under a week, the two most powerful air forces in the world will have complete control of Iranian skies, uncontested airspace. I hope all the folks watching understand what uncontested airspace and complete control means. It means we will fly all day, all night, day and night, finding, fixing, and finishing the missiles and defense industrial base of the Iranian military, finding and fixing their leaders and their military leaders, flying over Tehran, flying over Iran, flying over their capital, flying over the IRGC, Iranian leaders looking up and seeing only U.S. and Israeli air power every minute of every day until we decide it's over. And Iran will be able to do nothing about it. B-2s, B-52s, B-1s, Predator drones, fighters controlling the skies, picking targets. Death and destruction from the sky all day long.
That's wonderful because it's ours. Not so wonderful if you're on the receiving end of it. That is terrifying to think about, isn't it? And I hope, look, my only point in this, I hope you do feel blessed to live in a country that no one has ever owned the skies over you, ever.
You have never had to experience that. And of course, on a long enough timeline, maybe that day will come one day in the United States of America. But it ain't today. And I thank God for it. Anyway, back to this guy's question when he called me wife beater Jesse. I'm not a big tinfoil hat guy, but the other day I tried Dots pretzels for the first time and suddenly started seeing ads on my phone for them, even though I've never searched for or even heard of them before. Then 2 days later, I hear you speaking the praises of Dots pretzels. Are you and Jewish producer Chris trying out some creepy new targeted advertising, or is this just a coincidence? Well, here's something that may creep you out. No, we're not doing a targeted advertising campaign, but you said you just tried them the other day. I just bought a bag the other day. Why? Did we see an ad? Did we both see an ad? Has Dots Pretzels launched some sort of an advertising campaign? If you want to get creeped out beyond belief, go look at how the online tracking works of your searches and how much they know about your preferences. They go through your internet history and they know whether you prefer blue or green as a color. They know everything, your shoe size, where you shop, what your tendencies are. We all have an online profile now, and they know everything about us. It's honestly, it's quite creepy. It's majorly creepy, but it's true.
And now,
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Attorneys for illegal immigrants have flooded federal courts with over 24,000 lawsuits. How is it that we, a sovereign nation, allow illegals to flood our court system in any way? You don't have rights if you're an illegal. At least you shouldn't. You have a right to be arrested and sent away. Scandal-plagued Rep. Tony Gonzalez is forced to a runoff. This is the dude who's alleged mistress set herself on fire. He's running against Brandon Herrera. Good guy. Totally like Brandon Herrera. If I could vote for him, I would. Man alive, Texas. We got to do better than that. Sending Tony Gonzalez to a runoff. Look, I think Brandon Herrera is going to win that runoff, but either way, we'll see what happens. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to sort everything out. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.